الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue our discussion about the dangers and the ill effects of sins and disobedience and the different types of punishments and retribution that will fall a person because of their sins we have come to the discussion about al-haya, modesty and chastity, having a sense of self-respect and honor, and that from the great traits and great levels and ranks, the high status in that Islam, is that a person, he will have al-haya in his heart, he will have modesty, and he'll have chastity, and he will have shyness, first and foremost from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have seen in our previous class a number of narrations clarifying the virtue of al-haya and its high status and rank in al-Islam, and that al-haya shu'batun min al-iman, that haya is a branch from the branches of faith, and likewise that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned inna li kulli dinin khuluqan wa inna khuluqa al-islami al-haya, that every religion, every way of life has its manners, any of the manners that it's known by and that its people are known by, wa inna khuluqa al-islami al-haya, and the manners of al-Islam is modesty and chastity. And likewise, we have seen in our previous class as well the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he mentioned al-haya'u wal-imanu qurina jami'an fa'idha rufi'a ahaduhuma rufi'a al-akhar, that al-haya', chastity and modesty, is coupled with al-iman, it's coupled together with al-iman. If one of them is lifted, then the other one is lifted as well. And if one of them goes away or is deficient, then the other one is deficient in accordance. So the issue of al-hayat is something that is very important. So now we see what the author he's referring to, Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in this work at Dawud Dawa, the disease and the cure, the disease, the illness, the sickness, the ailment, and its cure. And its cure, وَمِنْ عُقُوبَاتِهَا ذَهَابُ الْحَيَاءِ أَلَذِي هُوَ مَادَّةُ الْحَيَاةِ لِلْقَلْبِ وَهُوَ أَصْلُ كل خير وذهابه ذهاب الخير أجمعه. And he says, and also from the punishments that will befall a person because of their sins and disobedience, ذهاب الحياة, that the حياة will go away, that the shyness, the modesty, the chastity in a person's heart, it will go away. الذي هو مادة حياة القلب, which is the essence, the means for the life of the heart, the means for the life of the heart. وَهُوَ أَصْلُ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ, and is the foundation of all goodness. الْحَيَاء, modesty, chastity, having shyness, is the foundation of all goodness. And he says, and whenever it goes away, then all good goes away along with it. Then all good goes away along with it. And no doubt all good is in al-Iman بِاللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, and believing in Allah. And al-haya' wal-imanu qurina jami'an fa'idha rufi'a ahaduhuma rufi'a al-akhar, that the iman, that the haya' and the iman, they're coupled together, and if one of them is lifted, then the other one is lifted likewise. So all good is here, and having haya', the legislative haya', the haya' that is prescribed and pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala wa fi sahihi anhu صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال الحياء خير كله الحياء خير كله. And also in the authentic narrations from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he has mentioned that he said that الحياء, modesty, chastity, shyness, it is all good, it is good, all of it, all of the good is found right here. This is a narration which is well known, collected by Al-Imam Muslim from the hadith of Imran ibn Hussein radiyallahu anhu. Inshallah, we return to this narration, and there's a story coupled with this narration that is actually very beneficial for our discussion, and bi-idhnillahi ta'ala will be from the examples of the Salaf with regards to their ghayra for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Their ghayra for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. The author, he says, rahimahullah, وَقَالَ إِنَّ مِمَّا أَدْرَكَ النَّاسِ مِنْ كَلَامِ النُّبُوَّةِ الْأُولَى إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِتَّى. And he mentioned likewise the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is collected by Al-Bukhari from the hadith of Abi Mas'ud, al-Ansari, al-Badri, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ مِمَّا أَدْرَكَ النَّاسِ مِنْ كَلَامِ النَّبُوَّةِ الْأُولَى إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِتَّ. And from that which has reached the people from the speech of the first prophethood is that it was said, if you do not have any shyness, then do as you like. If you're not shy, إِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَحِي, if you're not shy, you don't have any modesty, if you don't have any shyness, or if you're not shy, then فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِتَّ. If you're not shy, then do as you like. Then do as you like. So this is a narration the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is clarifying that this is what has reached the people from their prophethood of early generations. Meaning this is something that is well known, the issue of al-haya and its importance and status in the deen. And this is something that was revealed to the prophets previously, alayhi salatu wassalam, as something that has been transmitted generation after generation from prophet after prophet until it reached the time of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he affirmed this. إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِتَّ. If you are not shy, then do whatever you like. Then do whatever you like. He says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَفِيهِ تَفْسِيرَانِ. And in this narration, there are two interpretations. There are two interpretations. أَحَدُهُمَا أَنَّهُ عَلَى التَّهْدِيدِ وَالْوَعِيدِ. And the first interpretation is that it is a threat. That it is a threat, a challenge, a threat. That it is considered a threat. وَالْمَعْنَى مَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَحِي فَإِنَّهُ يَسْنَعُ مَا شَاءَ مِنَ الْقَبَائِحِ. This narration could be interpreted in two lights. The first understanding or the first light is that what is intended from this narration is a threat and a warning. Is a threat and a warning. And the meaning on this understanding is that whoever is not shy, then he will do whatever he likes from the ills and from the evils and from the lowly and despicable ways. He will do whatever he likes. إِلَّمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِتَّ. If you're not shy, then do whatever you like. Meaning that person, he's not shy, he will do whatever he likes. He will have nothing to stop him. This is what he says. إِذِ الْحَامِلُ عَلَىٰ تَرْكِهَا الْحَيَاءُ فَإِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ هُنَاكَ حَيَاءٌ يَزَعُهُ مِنَ الْقَبَائِحِ فَإِنَّهُ يُوَاقِعُهَا. وَهَذَا التَّفْسِيرُ أَبِي عُبَيْدٍ. وَهَذَا التَّفْسِيرُ أَبِي عُبَيْدٍ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. So he says, because that which carries a person to leave off these قبائح, that which will carry a person to leave off these filthy and despicable and these lowly ways, and that which carries a person to avoid this blameworthy path or these actions and statements and deeds that are lowly and despicable and are impermissible and foul, then that which carries him to leave that in reality is his modesty, is the modesty, is the shyness, is the chastity. So if he does not have any chastity, he does not have any modesty, he does not have any shyness, then this will not stop him from perpetrating and falling into those lowly and despicable ways. Rather, he will commit them and he will fall into them. Rather, he will commit them and he will fall into them. He says, وَهَذَا تَفْسِيرُ أَبِي عُبَيْدٍ. And this is the tafsir of Abi Ubaid. Abu Ubaid al-Qasim ibn Salam, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 224. He has many works, and he's from the scholars of Hadith and the scholars of Jahr al-Ta'dil. And he has a famous work called Gharib al-Hadith. Gharib al-Hadith, yani clarifying some of the terms and words that are found in the narrations that are not used often, and many times the meaning is unclear for many people. The meanings are unclear for many people. He clarified those terms there, and he's mentioned along with that narrations and the terms that are found in those narrations. So he's referring to this issue here, this work here by Abi Ubaid, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and this was his interpretation in this book. This was his interpretation in this book. So the first understanding, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you're not shy, then do whatever you like then. If you're not shy from the people, then just go ahead, do whatever you like then. And meaning that you're going to meet your Lord and you're going to be taken to account. You're going to meet your Lord and you're going to be taken to account. Do whatever you like if you think that it's all good. Like this, it's a threat, it's a warning. It's not understood here that one is just giving him permission and making it seem like it's allowed, and that is something that is all good. Rather, that's not the case. This is a threat and a warning. This is a threat and a warning. He says, وَثَانِي, in the second interpretation, the second understanding of this narration, أَنَّ الْفِعْلَ إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي مِنْهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَافْعَلْهُ وَإِنَّمَا الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي تَرْكُهُ مَا يُسْتَحْيَى مِنْهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. وَهَذَا تَفْسِيرُ الْإِمَامِ أَحْمَدَ. He rewrites Ibn Hani. So he says now the second meaning is that an action, if you're not shy from it, a deed, an action, if you do not feel shy from it, from Allah, and if you do it, if you perform it, and it's not something that you feel shy from Allah, whenever you do it, then it's permissible and allowed. Meaning the action that a person he should leave and avoid and stay away from is the one that if he performs it, he's shy from Allah. He's shy from Allah. He will be shy from Allah. And he will fear Allah with regards to this affair. Meaning knowing that it's something that's haram, impermissible, or displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Or displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. It says so, and this is the interpretation of Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah in the narration that has been narrated by Ibn Hani. And he's from those who narrated the statements and collected the fatawa of Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala. So here what is understood is that it's disallowed. إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. And if a person, he's not sure whether he should do something, somebody may say to him on this understanding, if you're not a shy, if it's not bothering your heart, if you think that it's not impermissible, if you think that it's something that is allowed, then do as you like. Then do as you like. That which you should leave is that which you know is haram, that which you know is impermissible, and that which caused you to feel shy from Allah Azza wa Jal, from the people. So if you're not shy from Allah Azza wa Jal, nor from the people in committing this action, this is an indication that it's allowed and permissible. That is allowed and permissible, because the actions that we should leave are those actions that one he will feel shy in front of Allah if he commits it, or in front of the people likewise, or in front of the people likewise. So the foul and lowly deeds, they're the ones that people should feel shy from. So if a person he doesn't feel shy from them, then this is an indication that the deed is permissible and good. Then this is an indication that the deed is permissible and good. And this is the second interpretation. So he says, فَعَلَى الْأَوَّلِ يَكُونُ تَهْدِيدًا كَقَوْلِهِ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. And in the first explanation, it will be a warning and a threat. It will be a warning and a threat, like in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever he says, اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. Do whatever you like. Do whatever you like. I mean, this is a threat here. This is not a mention of permissibility. This is not saying do whatever you like, meaning it's all good. Do whatever you like. It's all allowed. Do whatever you like, meaning you're going to return to Allah and He's going to hold you to account. And this is a portion of a verse. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا لَا يَخْفَوْنَ عَلَيْنَا أَفَمَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ خَيْرٌ أَمَّنْ يَأْتِي آمِنًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, verily those who turn away from our ayat, turn away from our proofs and evidences, our signs and our clear verses, turning away from our revelation, are not hidden from us. And they're not hidden from us. لَا يَخْفَوْنَ عَلَيْنَا. They're not hidden from us. Is he who is cast into the fire better, or he who comes secure and safe on the day of resurrection? And who is better? The one who is cast in the fire and disgraced and humiliation and punished for his sins and taken to account for following his whims and desires, or the one who comes safe and secure in honor and peace and safety on the day of resurrection? No doubt the second, he is better. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, اعملوا ما شئتم. Do whatever you like. Do whatever you like, because you're going to be one of those two. Either you're going to be cast into the hellfire and humiliated and disgraced and punished for your sins, or you're going to come safe. And the means of safety and security is with al-Islam wal-Iman. Al-Islam brings salama, and al-Iman brings amana. And al-Iman brings amana. A person who has good Islam, it will make him safe and secure. And likewise, the person who has strong faith, strong Iman, he will also have safety and security. He will also have safety and security. And the safety and security only becomes deficient, and a person, he's only exposed to danger, harm and fear. Danger, harm and fear, and punishment and humiliation according to the weakness of his Islam, according to the weakness of his Islam and his Iman. And the issue of the Hayat, they're coupled together. And also the foundation of this is Al-Ghayra. As we have seen, the author, he mentions previously. The point is, اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. Do whatever you like. Do whatever you like. He is the all-seer of what you do. He is the all-seer of what you do. And you do whatever you like, Allah, He sees you. Do whatever you like, you're going to return to Him. Do whatever you like, you cannot flee from Him or run from Him, nor can you hide from Him. Rather, the angels, they're writing everything that you do. And it will be said to you, اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. It will be said to you, read your own book on the day of resurrection. Read your own book. Read your own book. Sufficient are you as a witness over your own soul. As a witness over your own soul. So what is intended here is a threat. يَعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. Do whatever you like. This is a threat. So here, this is the understanding of this narration, and Allah knows best. إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you're not shy, do whatever you like then. If you have no shyness, you have no shame. If you have no shame, do whatever you like. If you have no shame, do whatever you like. Do whatever you like with your wealth. Do whatever you like with your eyes. Do whatever you like with your ears. Do whatever you like with your stomach. Do whatever you like with your children, with your wife. Do whatever you like. If you don't have no shame, do whatever you like. إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. Because you're going to return to Allah. You're going to return to Allah. So therefore, this is a threat in this understanding. In this understanding. So then he says, وَعَدَ الثَّانِي يُكُونُ إِذْنًا وَإِبَاحَةً. And as for the second interpretation, then it would be understood giving permission and making it allowed. Giving permission and making it allowed. And meaning again, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي. And you don't, the person who doesn't know, should he do it or not? If you're not shy, if you don't feel shame from that, then do it. Because you only leave that which is shameful. As for the actions that there's no shame in, there's no shame for a person who sells thobes. There's no shame for a person who transports water. There's no shame for a person who sells milk. There's only shame, if there's shame for a person who sells alcohol though, right? So if you sell milk, there's no shame. It's not my shit. And you sell as much milk as you like. Sell as much milk as you like, get money. Brother, it's not my shit. You can do that, it's allowed for you. As for selling alcohol, then no, you cannot sell alcohol. This is shameful. This is shameful and blameworthy. This is shameful and blameworthy. So here on this second understanding, it's permissibility. We understand the two different lights? It could be understood like this or understood like this. It could be understood like this or understood like this. The author is going to make a point now, but it cannot be understood in the same time, in the same way. Because these are two contrary affairs. To threaten and to warn is completely opposite and contrary to allowing and giving permission. So therefore, it's not, this particular narration is not understood in both lights. It's either interpreted in one way or the other. In one way or the other. We spoke about this before, the issue of tafsir at-tanawwu'. Tafsir at-tanawwu'. Whenever one particular verse or one particular text, it carries more than one meaning. More than one meaning. And so therefore we'll find the interpretations differ. But then whenever we look at them, we find that there's no conflict between them. And then we will carry that particular text upon all of those meanings. And because they're all correct and none of them conflict with each other. But here the case is that one of them is completely opposite to the other. Warning and threatening somebody is completely contrary to giving permission and making it permissible. So therefore it cannot be understood in both lights at one time. In both lights at one time. But the author, he's going to mention the benefit about this. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, and clarify. So we read, he says, فَإِنْ قِيلَ فَهَلْ مِنْ سَبِيرٍ إِلَى حَمْرِهِ عَلَى الْمَعْنَيَيْنِ. So now someone were to say, is it possible, is there a way that we can carry this narration upon both meanings? And we say this narration, it means both meanings. It carries both meanings at one time. قُلْتُ, he says, I say, لا, no. وَلَا عَلَى قَوْلِ مَنْ يَحْمِرُ الْمُشْتَرَكِ عَلَى جَمِيعِ مَعَنِيهِ. No, no, and not also upon the position of the one who will carry these meanings that have this, that have similar, that carry these texts that have similar meanings, all upon the same meaning. And meaning those scholars who mentioned the issue of tafsir at-tanawwu', that have various meanings, and they will accept all of those meanings and affirm them and not deny them. He said even upon that position, it cannot be applied here. He says, لِمَا بَيْنَ الْإِبَاحَةِ وَالتَّهْدِيدِ مِنَ الْمُنَافَاتِ. Because of what we find between permissibility and a warning and threat from contradiction. He says, وَلَكِنَّ اِتِبَارَ أَحَدِ الْمَعْنَيَيْنِ يُوجِبُ اِتِبَارَ الْآخَرِ. But in considering one of the meanings, it requires and necessitates to consider the other. Whichever understanding we carry this narration upon, then whenever we consider that understanding, this also requires for us to consider the other understanding. So if it's said to someone, do whatever you like. If you have no shame, do whatever you like. And we mean that it's a threat. If we say that's the meaning, do whatever you like. If you have no shame, do whatever you like. That means any. So we say this is the meaning of the narration. If you have no shame, do whatever you like. The other meaning likewise is understood from that. The other meaning likewise. So if you have shame, then you won't do whatever you like. Then the opposite is considered. It's considered from understanding the first one. But we won't say that this narration means this and that. Rather, we say this narration means this. And then we understand from that this is also derived from there. is derived from there. Likewise, if you said, if it doesn't make you feel shameful, then do whatever you like, meaning it's a permissibility, right? If we say the other meaning, if it doesn't make you feel shameful, then do whatever you like. There's no blame. There's no blame if you do not feel shameful in doing that, because it's permissible. It's allowed. So that means if you embark upon something that makes you feel shameful, then you shouldn't do it. Then you shouldn't do it. So this is the point, the issue of the haya, the issue of the haya. So the author, he returns back to the topic. He says, "Wal maqsood," and what is intended from all of this? "Anna dhunuba tud'ifu al-haya min al-'abdi hatta rubbama insalakha minhu bil-kulliyah." It says, and what is intended, the whole purpose of mentioning this here in this particular portion of the work, in this particular topic, is that the sins, they weaken the haya. The sins, they weaken the modesty. They weaken the chastity. They weaken the feeling of shame. They weaken the feeling of shame and shyness that a person he has, until maybe or possibly the shyness or the chastity, the modesty, this feeling of shame could go away in entirety. It could go away in entirety. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So what goes away with that? Al-Iman goes away with that. Al-Iman will go away with that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So he says, حَتَّى إِنُّهُ رُبَّمَا لَا يَتَأَثَّرُ بِعِلْمِ النَّاسِ بِسُوِ حَالِهِ وَلَا بِاطِّلَاعِهِمْ عَلَيْهِ بَلْ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ يُخْبِرُ عَنْ حَالِهِ وَقَبِيحِ مَا يَفْعَلُهُ. He says possibly it could come to the extent that he will have no effect. He will have no feeling whatsoever, or no care. It will not affect him whatsoever whenever the people, they find out about his foul and lowly condition, and that they are aware of his circumstance and situation. It could reach this level. It could reach this level where he won't even care that people see him or not. The people see him and they know that he partakes in riba or not. He don't even care anymore. Then they know that he drinks alcohol or not. He smokes weed or not. He don't even care anymore. He don't even care. They know that he commits fornication. He has girlfriends or that she shows her face on Facebook. They don't even care anymore whether the people see them or not. The haya is gone. They have no care or concern anymore. And it reaches this state. He said, rather, many of them, they will start to inform others of their lowly situation. And they will inform others and tell them about the foul things that they are doing. The foul things that they are doing. So in those days, the days of the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, a person, he will just, like, if he were going to expose his ills and to expose his sins and the likes like this, he would just be able to talk to two or three or four or a group of people in his neighborhood, wherever he's at. But today, the people that push a button, it'll go to the afaq. It goes to the lands all over the world. It goes to, they push a button, they take a picture of themselves committing crimes and committing actions of indecency and vulgarness and foul ways. And they videotape that, and they picture that, and they record that, and then they send it all over the horizons, all over the lands. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So it is multiplied in a manner that in these days that was never found before. That was never found before. Before, one of them, he would tell his friends in his neighborhood or in his town or in his city about his ill night and the foul things he was doing yesterday, so on and so forth. But for us today, many of them, it doesn't stop there. Rather, it goes all over the world. Rather, it goes all over the world. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. He says, وَالْحَامِلُ لَهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ إِنْسِلَاقُهُ مِنَ الْحَيَاءِ. And that which carries this person to do this is that the haya is completely left him. إِنْسِلَاقُهُ مِنَ الْحَيَاءِ. And he is completely stripped of الْحَيَاءِ. They call him manzur الْحَيَاءِ. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. This is from the worst of all descriptions, from the most lowly and disgusting traits. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ manzur. Al-haya, that this, the shyness, the feeling of shame, modesty and chastity is stripped from him. It's stripped from him. And this is the words that are used like this. The shyness, it's stripped from a person. It's stripped from a person. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And it comes out little by little until it's stripped from him and it's gone. Until it's stripped from him and it's gone. He says, وَإِذَا وَصَلَ الْعَبْدُ إِلَى هَذِهِ الْحَالِ لَمْ يَبْقَى فِي صَلَاحِهِ مَطْمَعٌ كَمَا قِيلَ وَإِذَا رَأَى إِبْلِيسُ طَلْعَةَ وَجْهِهِ حَيَّا وَقَالَ فَدَيْتُ مَنْ لَا يُفْرِحُ. He said, if a person, he reaches this level here, then there does not remain any hope left for his rectification. And he's lost now. Whenever he comes to the extent that he has no shame, and he has absolutely no shame, and he exposes his own faults and informs others about them. Rather, they'll brag about them, and they'll consider them to be they will consider them to be praiseworthy and good, then at this time there's no hope. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. If Allah doesn't show him mercy and guide his heart, that he will ever find rectification. Meaning that this is a far off path. This is a far off path. And this person is far away, away from the straight path. He's far away from faith. Waliyadhu billah is great, great deficiency in deen. Great weakness in faith. Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. And we know again, the people of knowledge, they mentioned about this issue here and how it occurs. And likewise, Allah, He clarified as well in His book, وَلَا تَتَبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow the footsteps of shaytan. And do not follow the footsteps of shaytan. وَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ قَائِدٌ لِبْنِ آدَمٍ بِأَطْرُقِهِ. وَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ قَائِدٌ لِبْنِ آدَمٍ بِأَطْرُقِهِ. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that shaytan is lying and waiting for the son of Adam in every one of his pathways. And every one of his pathways. So a believer, he has to be cautious and aware of this affair, that the devil is seeking to strip the haya from him and to weaken his ghira and his care and love for the religion. And his care and his love for the religion in order to strip him from faith and to take him out of the deen and to cause him to be in the fire along with him. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. So therefore it happens by steps, little by little, until the religion becomes so weak, the ghira becomes so deficient, a person has no shame for himself, for his family, for his women, for his deen, for his religion, for his ummah, nothing. He does not care. All he cares about is laughing. All he cares about is smiling. All he cares about is pleasure. All he cares about is a dollar. And he, at this time, he becomes very lowly, like an animal. He's to the base desires. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. The point that we focus on, barakallahu fikum, is that it happens step by step, little by little. So a person, لابد أن يتدارك, when shaitan comes, or whenever a person he finds from his soul that he slipped, that he fell into sin, that he committed that shameful action, he will not continue. He will hasten to repent to Allah. He will hasten to repent to Allah and rectify that. And the one who repents to Allah, that will become rectified. So he will not continue upon that way until the ghayra is gone or weakened to the extent he has no shame. Rather, whenever he slips, he returns back to Allah Azza wa Jalla and he repents and he strives against his soul. He strives against his soul, fighting against his soul, fighting against the devil, trying his best to be obedient, working in this path, the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Fighting his soul, sometimes he has the best of his soul and sometimes his soul gets the best of him, but he repents and he's from those who repent and he's from those who work and he's from those who strive and he still has the shyness and the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Even if his soul overcomes him sometimes, he will remember Allah. He will remember Allah, he will remember the greatness and the favor of Allah, he will remember the meaning of Allah, and he will repent to Allah. And he will strive again and strive again like this. This person, inshallah, Allah will help him. Allah will help him. But as for the one who commits the crime, commits the sin time after time, and then he persists, and he doesn't repent, he delays repentance until these crimes, they become normal for him. Until these crimes, they become normal for him. These great hideous crimes, actions of disobedience, violation of the rights of Allah, they're major. They're major. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that we see you guys committing sins that if we had done them in the time of the Prophet, we feel like mountains on our backs. And you guys are treating them like flies in your face, just wiping them away. Just wiping them away. And like it's nothing. So the deen of Allah is something. Rather, it's the greatest. The deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla is honorable. It is the path, it's revelation, it's deen. So to violate those rights is major. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned from the Salaf, like Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, and other than them, they would say, لا تنظر إلى حجم الذنب. Don't look at the size of the sin, but like تنظر إلى عظمة من عصيت. But you look at the greatness and the majesty of the one you disobeyed. So don't say, oh, it's just a little sin. Oh, it's a minor sin. Like this, rather, you don't look at it like this. It's a sin. Look at the greatness of Allah and the majesty of Allah and the favor and the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the point is that these sins, they will weaken this affair. If a person who does not catch up with himself and check his soul and strive against his soul and work against his soul on the path of obedience and in repentance and the likes like this, taking the means, changing his scenery, changing his environment, changing his friends and companions, making the effort that he can to rectify this affair, then it will take hold of him. We've seen that in the previous class. Likewise, it's like the immune system. The ghayra is like the immune system. If it's strong, then it will repel these things. It will repel these things. But if it becomes weak, then the sickness, it will take hold. It will find a place and it will take hold and it will spread and grow. So from the cure is to repent sincerely. And this is our cure for us today. Likewise, is to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of knowledge, they make a beautiful example with regards to this affair, with regards to sins. And they say, again, al-ma'asi baridu al-kufr. Al-ma'asi بريد الكفر يعني الوسيلة الوسيلة إلى الكفر the disobedience. Disobedience is the pathway, is the means that leads a person to disbelief. Disobedience, it leads a person to disbelief. A Muslim, he can disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla, he can commit major crimes, major sins, and not disbelief. But we should know that those actions of disobedience and those sins, they're the pathway to disbelief. They're the pathway to disbelief. If a person, he is not careful, it will lead him out of the religion. It will lead him out of the religion. So this is something that's very serious. So the people of Nahr, as they mentioned about this example, a man, he leaves his home and he has a beautiful white thobe on. He has a beautiful brand new white thobe on, crispy and white. And it's very clean and very nice. Very clean and very nice. So whenever he's moving throughout his day, he's going through the pathway. Every time he comes around a puddle or some filth or some dirt, he'll be cautious. He'll be cautious. If there's a puddle any by him, he'll go around it. Or he will step on the curb, he'll go around. He'll lift up his thobe and step over it. He doesn't want to get his new thobe all dirty. He doesn't want to get a drop on there. It's brand new. It's all white. One drop is going to stand out on the white thobe. So he's very precautious. And he doesn't want nothing to get on it. But if something happens, he gets a drop on there, he's like, oh, la ilaha illallah. Something splash. He can't help it. Somebody splashed a little bit of dirt on him. So he got a little dirt on him. So it's just a little bit. So now he feels like, oh man, it's gonna bother his soul. His soul's gonna, man, I got my brand new white thobe, just got this dirt on it. Astaghfirullah. So then it's gonna bother him, but he's gonna keep going, and he's still gonna be cautious. So it's there. But he didn't like it either, and then he's still going to be cautious. If he continues and he's walking, and then next thing you know, he slips. He can't help it. All of a sudden, he slips and he falls down, and the knees and the whole bottom of the thobe gets dirty. Now he's like, man, forget it. Now he's going to just walk all the way to the rest of the day. He's going to start walking through the mud. The whole bottom of the thobe now is finished, all the way up to his knees. He fell down in a pothole with mud. He got his white thobe is all dirty. It's ruined now. So now the rest of the day, he's not going to dodge in the puddles. He's not going to be watching out for the dirt. It's already finished. He doesn't care about it anymore. These are our hearts. This is the example of our heart. This is the example of our deen. This is the example of our religion. In the beginning, we're very cautious. In the beginning, we're very cautious. We're taking every step we can to stay clean, to stay pure, to stay on the straight path. But if we're not careful, then eventually those sins, they'll add up, and they will affect us, and we will not care anymore. This is how it happens, like this, little by little. So maybe he will get one spot on there, maybe two spots. Eventually, if the throat gets dirty enough, he will not care anymore. He'll not care anymore. Walk through the mud, whatever. It's all good. Throw ketchup on him. The thobe's finished. Yeah, you understand. Then so he's not going to mind anymore because the thobe is finished. The white thobe is done. There's no way to clean it except to take it off and start over. So this is the example of the sins, barakallahu fikum, on the heart, on the soul. A person, if he's not careful, he can be overwhelmed by them. And then eventually he will not care, like that person, whatever. You'll take money from anywhere. Like they said, al-halal mahalla fi jaybihi. Mahalla fi jaybi. Al-halal for him is that whatever he can get in his pocket. His eyes, they'll have no reins. He'll look at everything. His tongue will have no reins. He will say everything and talk to everyone. He will have no problem. He will have no deen. Nothing to check him. Nothing to keep him on the straight path. So this is very dangerous. So this is leading up to another affair. We continue reading the author. He says, وَالْحَيَاءُ مُشْتَقُ مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ وَالْغَيْثُ يُسَمَّ حَيًّا بِالْقَصْرِ لِأَنَّ بِهِ حَيَاةِ الْأَرْضِ وَالنَّبَاتِ وَالدَّوَابِ وكذلك بالحياء حياة الدنيا والآخرة فمن لا حياء فيه ميت في الدنيا شقيء في الآخرة. So this modesty, this sense of shame, this chastity, it is derived, this word الحياء, it is derived from الحيات. The word الحيات, it means life. The person, he has الحيات, this means life. In the Arabic language, from this word, the word الحياء is derived. The word al-hayat is derived from al-hayat. You understand that? Then the Arabic language, this is something very beneficial and very beautiful. the richness of the Arabic language, that is mustaqqa. That there are many, many words, they're derived from other words. They're derived from other words. And those words that are derived from one word, they have similar meanings. Similar meanings as the original word, as the jidr, as the root word, or as the masdar. And the likes like this, and derived from that one word are many words. So al-hayat, it means life. So derived from the meanings of life, modesty. From the meanings of life in the Arabic language, from the meaning of hayat, al-hayat. From the meanings of having true life, having life, being alive, is to have modesty, to have a sense of shame, to have a sense of honor and respect for yourself. A sense of honor and respect for yourself. All of this just clarifies and just makes us, alhamdulillah, to love Islam even more. Wallahi, Islam is a religion. It's a deen, a way of life. It's a revelation from Allah Azza wa Jalla. It'll make you a man. It'll make you alive. If you follow Islam, Allah, you'll be a man. You'll be a man. Those people who don't follow Islam, no matter what, they're not men. They're not men. Those people who turn away from the sunnah of the man, the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're not men. They're not men. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Al-hayat, the true life is here. So this, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alladhi hadana lihada. We praise Allah for guiding us to Islam. And we ask Allah to make us thankful for this blessing and to make us from those who hold fast to it and cherish it until we meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-hayat is derived from al-hayat. Yani this modesty, this sense of shame in the Arabic language is derived from the word that means life. It's derived from the word that means life. And he says, likewise, al-ghayth, al-ghayth yusamma hayyan bil-qasr, yani alif maksura. He says, and al-ghayth is the rain. Al-ghayth is the rain. It's the rain that comes as provision, yani for the land and for the people. It's called hayyan, yani from the same word. Also, yani meaning life, has the meaning of life, because it is the life of the earth and the plants and the animals. The life of the earth and the plants and the animals. And likewise, Jibreel alayhi salam, who comes with the revelation, is called ruh. It's called the ar-ruhul amin. And likewise, the revelation is called ruh, ruh, because it's life. So just like the rain is life to the earth and to the crops and to the plants and for the animals, likewise the soul is the life of the body. So the revelation is like the water, and the revelation is like the soul. Life, that life comes by way of it. True life, it comes by way of it. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ O you who believe, respond to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever they call you to that which will give you life. Whenever they call you to that which will give you life. So the revelation is life. The revelation is life. Following the revelation, a person he comes to life. Alhamdulillah. So he says, رحمه wa ta'ala, وَكَذَلِكَ بِالْحَيَاءِ حَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ And also by having modesty and a sense of shame, this life in the hereafter comes to life. And is the true life of this life and hereafter. فَمَنْ لَا حَيَاءَ فِيهِ مَيِّتٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا شَقِيٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ So therefore, the one who has no modesty, the one who has no sense of shame, then he is dead in this life. He's dead in this life and he is miserable in the hereafter. And he is miserable in the hereafter. So the true life, again, is the life of modesty and the life of iman and sincere faith and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the author, he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى وبين الذنوب وبين قلة الحياء وعدم الغيرة تلازم من طرفين من الطرفين وكل منهما يستدعي الآخر ويطلبه حثيثا. He says, and between the sins and having little shame and no sense of honor, between having little shame and no sense of honor, between having little حياء and no غيرة, There is a direct connection and relationship from both parts. From both parts. And all of these affairs, they come together. As they say, hand in hand. As they say, hand in hand. And if the sins, when the sins come, what happens? The hayat becomes little. And the ghayra goes away. Understand this? This is from the outcome of sins. And one thing we should pay attention to, that he keeps mentioning, and the beginning of each one of these brief chapters, وَمِنْ عُقُوبَاتِهَا وَمِنْ عُقُوبَاتِهَا وَمِنْ عُقُوبَاتِهَا And from the punishments of sins. So this is a punishment. A person, he'll be punished. Allah will strip shyness from him. He will not fear Him. Allah will strip this faith from his heart. He will not trust and rely upon Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weaken his deen and expose him to the people. And he will not have any piety along with him. And this is from the punishment of sin. He would take the honor of Al-Islam out of his heart. Out of his heart after having honor at one time because of sins. Having reverence and love for the deen, respect and honor for the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person is not careful because of his sins, Allah will strip that from his heart. Allah will take that from his heart. Allah will take that from him. This is the best. Never want to have the deen taken from you. Everything in life can be replaced. Everything in life you can find a replacement. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. There's a replacement for it. With the deen, there's no replacement. Everything in life, it can be healed and mended. Hearts can be mended. The body can be mended. You can get a new job. You can get a new occupation. Things can be mended. The deen, la yaltahim. The deen, it's hard to mend. If it breaks, it's hard to fix it. If the deen breaks, it's hard to fix it, brothers. So this is something you don't play with. The deen, you don't play with. You don't play with your deen. You don't put your deen, you don't expose your deen to dangers and to hazards and to the likes of these affairs. So this is something very serious. So, and again, I remind myself and my brothers and sisters that how we got to this topic is because we're discussing حَتَّى تَرْجِعُ إِلَى دِينِكُمْ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُ إِلَى دِينِكُمْ يُشِكُمْ تَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمْ الْأُمَمْ كَمَا تَدَاعَ الْأَكَرَةُ إِلَى قَصْعَتِهَا. This is how, this is the whole topic here is based on these two narrations. Based upon these two narrations. حَتَّى تَرْجِعُ إِلَى دِينِكُمْ until you return to your religion. سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ظُلِّنْ لَا يَنْزِعُهُ عَنْكُمْ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُ إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. That Allah, He will send upon you a humiliation. He will not raise it until you turn to your religion. He will not raise it until you honor His deen, until you respect His legislation, until you establish His commandments and prohibitions in your life, and you have shyness from Him. And you have shame in your life, and you have shame and honor and respect for those under your care. And you raise your children upon Islam, not upon Western customs and cultures, not upon the ways of the enemies of Islam. This is something that's so very serious. Something that's so very serious. And this, what has happened to us did not happen overnight. And to fix it and rectify it will not happen overnight. Will not happen overnight. This is generations of plotting and planning and deception and trickery and also using great weapons of war. And the most severe of those weapons are the intellectual weapon. The Al-Ghazwu Al-Fikri. Al-Ghazwu Al-Fikri. We will talk about this bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. It's called Al-Ghazwu Al-Fikri, the intellectual war, where they're trying to introduce doubts and misconceptions and to preoccupy the people with the dunya and to engulf them with desires and whims until they come out of their religion. Until they come out of their religion, because they know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلًّا لَا يَنْزِعُ حَتَّى تَرْجُوا إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. They know these affairs. They have people that are called mustashriqun, the Orientalists, and the likes like this who study Islam. They learn Islam. They learn the Arabic language. They study Islam. They learn it in detail. Jewish people, Christian people, atheists, and the likes like this. And they work together. They're called now Middle Eastern specialists. Any of the new name, huh? Middle Eastern specialists. They have a MBC and the likes like this. Middle Eastern experts and the likes like this. They're called mustashriqun in the terminology of the people of knowledge. And they learn about Islam and they learn the Quran and they learn Sahih al-Bukhari and the likes like this. They learn about the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they try to find places to bring doubts to the believers and to mislead the believers and take control of them and to manipulate them and use them. And to manipulate them and use them. They learn the narrations of the Prophet and they use these affairs against the believers. Wallahi al-Azim. They have research papers, you can read them. You have research papers, you can read them of the efforts that they have done and what they have mentioned that they have found and the tactics that they have used against the Muslim Ummah to bring us to the place that we are at now. But even now, even if they stopped, they said, Afwan, I'm sorry. We played you guys. Even if they said that right now, it's taken such great hold in the Ummah that many of us ourselves will stand up and take their places. Mm-hmm. We'll stand up and take their places. Wallahi, and we're doing it now. Much of the harm and the evil that we have, that we're facing, is coming from those who ascribe to Islam from within us. And they're affected by the ways of the Western people, and they're affected by the ideologies of the Americans and the Jews and the Christians and the Europeans, and they're affected by these ways, and they love these ways, and they prefer these ways, and they're ready to fight the believers. Wahhabis, y'all Wahhabis. And this is what they're gonna say. This is what they're gonna do. They're gonna do whatever they can. This is very serious. It's very deep. It's very deep. How do you stay safe? Learning Tawheed. Learning the Sunnah, learning As-Salafiyya Sahih, learning it properly, applying in your life, you will be safe. You will be safe. We've seen in that narration, whenever the sins, they encompass the Ummah, إِذَا ظَهَرَتِ الْمَعَاصِي فِي أُمَّتِي عَمَّهُمْ اللَّهُ بِالْعَذَابِ. Even those who are righteous, they'll be touched likewise. But what will happen? يَسِيرُونَ إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٍ. But those people, although, because they're alive at that time of that great trial and of that great sin and transgression and of that humiliation, whenever the punishment afflicts them, even though they're righteous, they will taste that punishment, but in the end, they will go to mercy and forgiveness and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, you have to fear Allah. And you have to fear Allah with regards to your soul, my noble brothers and sisters, and likewise with regards to those under your care. And you have to make the delight of your eye the focus of your life. Ra'sul Amri al-Islam. Ra'sul Amri al-Islam. Ra'sul Amri al-Islam. The head of the affair is al-Islam. So the author, he says that between sins and having little modesty and no ghayra and no sense of self-honor and respect, there's a great relationship and bond between them from both ways. And each one of them is calling for the other one and chasing after it. يَسْتَدْعِي الْآخَرُ وَيَطْرُبُهُ حَثِيثًا وَيَطْرُبُهُ حَثِيثًا. So the sins, whenever the sins come, right after that comes the weak haya. As soon as the sins come, the haya, it goes down. As soon as the sins come, the ghayra, it goes away. If a person repents, inshallah, he can rectify that. But if he continues upon that way, the real issue, the main issue is whenever a person, he just continues and delves in further and further and further. But then he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, this final statement, وَمَنْ اسْتَحْيَ مِنَ اللَّهِ عِنْدَ مَعْسِيَتِهِ اسْتَحْيَ اللَّهُ مِنْ عُقُوبَتِهِ يَوْمَ يَلْقَاهُ. He says, and the one who is shameful, he's shy from Allah in disobedience, then Allah will be shy from him and punishing him on the day that he meets him. And we know that from the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Hayy, Al-Hayy, this is from the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, modesty. Al-Haya is from the attributes of our Lord Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and we believe in that attribute in a manner befitting His Majesty, and we do not liken it to any of the Haya in the creation, or nor do we distort it or change the meaning, whether we affirm that for Him, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, in the manner befitting His Majesty. So he's saying here, the one who has the shyness from Allah Azza wa Jal to disobey him, then Allah will be shy to punish him on the day that he meets him. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَحِي مِنْ مَعْسِيَتِهِ لَمْ يَسْتَحِي مِنْ عُقُوبَتِهِ. And whoever is not shy from disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah, he will not be shy to punish him. Allah, he will not be shy to punish him. The issue of al-haya, we have seen, it's legislative, but we should not misunderstand. Some people, they misunderstand the issue of haya. And there are some aspects that people may think is haya, but it's not haya. Rather, it's called jubun wal khawar. Jubun wal khawar. There's a difference between al-haya wal jubun wal khawar. Al-jubun wal khawar is cowardice, and being scared, being weak, being scared and being a coward, being a pushover and a coward, being scared. So there's a difference between being shy and having modesty and having a sense of shame and honor and self-respect from being a coward. So we shouldn't mix the two up. So for example, in seeking knowledge, if a person, his shyness, his so-called shyness, prohibited him from learning the obligations of his religion, this is not called shyness. This is called jubun wa khawar. For this reason, Mujahid, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, لا يتعلم العلم مستحيا ولا متكبر. That the one who is shy, mustahi, he's not going to learn knowledge, nor the one who is arrogant. It's been narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha. Likewise in Sahih Muslim that she said, نعم النساء نساء الأنصار لم يكن يمنعهن الحياء يتفقهن في الدين. That how good the best women are, the women of the Ansar, because they did not let their shyness prohibit them from learning their religion. Meaning they would come and get the fatwa from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about affairs that would happen in the bed, and about affairs with their husbands, and about affairs that would happen with regards to the menses, and these other things that people will shy away from mentioning. But they would not be shy, they would come and learn. They will not be shy and come and learn. So there's a difference between the two. If a person feels like he's too shy to advise his brother when his brother is in need of advice, or if he feels like he's too shy to command the good whenever the good is not being established, or to prohibit the evil whenever the evil is being perpetrated, this is not called haya. This is called jubun. This is called cowardice. This is blameworthy. This is not good. This is blameworthy. This is not good. So haya should not stop us from advising our brothers whenever they need advice and whenever we have the advice to give them, or to order the good whenever the good should be ordered, or to be afraid to testify whenever somebody is called to testify, or the likes like this, or to stand up and to implement the knowledge of the sunnah whenever we know. Yani out of shyness of the people. Nah, this is not called shyness. This is not called haya that is legislated. This is different. This is called being a coward. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can yasta'idhu billahi min al-jubn. Min al-jubn. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge with Allah from being a coward. So this is something that is blameworthy. As for haya, it is praiseworthy. All of it is praiseworthy. As for this one, this is different. Inshallah, we continue tomorrow reading in the issue of the next topic, which is at-ta'zim. Ta'zim al-Rabb. And all of this is related to our original topic. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.